Welcome back, my friends. Do you make the grade? Would you make the grade? This is the question. So yesterday, after reaching the climax of holiness, that's right inside there, in that big sanctuary building, we entered the Holy of Holies, and there was nowhere else to go. The only direction we could proceed was up. We thought, restricted access, wow. This must be holier than the Holy of Holies. And then we found out that it's not quite the case. Why? Well, because in the upper level or upper story, the only reason that we have restricted access is because, firstly, nobody really has to go in there altogether. Secondly, it's right above the holiest space in the world, but it isn't holy in and of its own right. Today, we're going back down to the lower level. So, if you will, we'll be talking about the inside of this sanctuary right here. Not the upper level. This is an enormous area, 40 amot high, as we learned about yesterday. And we're not going to be talking about the Holy of Holies, as you'll see, because it's virtually impossible to imagine how this could be relevant in the Holy of Holies, although, who knows? As you'll find out, it could, in theory, I suppose, be the case. And then we will be talking about primarily this area, but we'll also be talking about the area around that, the foyer, and ultimately we'll be talking about the courtyard as well. Now remember, this is inside the sanctuary structure. That makes it different from, for example, this area, which is open air. With all this in mind, let us continue. Halacha Chav Gimel, the 23rd paragraph of the 7th chapter of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. The Rambam tells us, B'shoh shenichnosin habanoin. Banoin are builders. When builders or craftspeople whose job is to effect a repair go in, livnot, to build, or litakein behechel. Nothing lasts forever. Things need to be repaired. And sometimes there might even be something new that has to be added or built. There's another reason that somebody might enter this most sacred space, not for the purpose of service. And that is, lahotzi misham, to remove from there, et hatumah, ritual impurity. Well, in this case, if somebody has to enter the building, and I'll soon tell you how we know that, there is a hierarchy. Who makes the grade? Well, it goes like this. The Rambam says, mitzvah sheyiyu nichnasim kohanim. Ideally, if we have the perfect situation, it would be the proverbial priest. That's, I guess, the best translation we have for the Kohen. So we need priest perfect, because if it's a Kohen, it should be one who is unblemished. Tamimim. What happens if we don't find a Kohen, a priest who's perfect? Well, lematzu tamimim, if you didn't find a perfect priest or an unblemished Kohen, yikonsu balimumin. In that case, Rambam rules, somebody who is blemished, but still of Kohanic lineage, should be the one to enter. Ve'im ein sham kohanim, but if there are no kohanim present, who should enter? Says the Rambam, in that case, yikonsu levim. A member of the tribe is better than a commoner, a regular Israelite, like, for example, myself. Leimotzu levim, but if there is no eligible Levite, so he's not even a member of this special, forget priestly clan, he's not even a member of the Levite tribe. Well, in that case, yikonsu Yisrael. Then an ordinary Israelite should be the one to answer, and that's where it ends. Now, of course, you're going to ask a question, say, what do you mean there's no Kohanim? How could that be? How could it be there's no Levium? Well, remember, my friends, we're looking for eligible craftspeople. We need people who are talented, who know what they're doing. So you may have a lot of fine Kohanim, But if none of them are expert craftspeople or can make the right repairs, he's not the guy you're looking for. You might not have a Kohen who's in perfect shape, but a Kohen who's blemished, you know what? He's an artisan. He can do the job. Well, in that case, he's better than a non-Kohen. And that's where we go eventually deferring onto the Levi. And if we can't find even a member of the tribe who is capable, talented, and able, then we move on to a regular Yisro. And the Rambam finishes off and he says, Mitzvah b'tahorim. It is appropriate, meaning it's best off if it could be somebody who is in a state of ritual purity. However, le'motzo tahorim, if there's nobody capable who is also ritually pure, well, then you go with somebody who's impure. So there's a lot of things that we have to qualify here. Question one, are we talking about the building or the Beit HaMikdash? Let's go back to the floor plan. As you might remember, we learned that once you go past these stairs into this area, it's called Ezrat Yisrael. Once you go up these stairs, this, which is called the Ezrat Kohanim, is off limits unless you have business to do there. So a Kohen can be here, but an Israelite can't go there unless there is a specific reason for him to enter that sacred space. And then we learned the next level is the altar arena, going between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Even a Kohen doesn't just enter that area. Well, this begs the question then, when we're talking about dealing with ritual impurity, who are we referring to? Or, more accurately, where are we referring to? Are we talking about in the building or in the courtyard? The next question that we have to answer is, what kind of ritual impurity are we talking about? And this gets dicey. Because if we're talking about, for example, a dead Kohen Gadol, and we know that there were many, many Kohanim Gdolim who weren't worthy of the mantle that they had assumed, and they entered the Holy of Holies, but they didn't make it out. This became so problematic that at a certain point in the Second Temple era, the Kohen Gadol would enter with a rope around his leg. And oftentimes, he'd have to be pulled out. So suppose the Kohen Gadol dies in the Holy of Holies. Who will receive his body? You say, well, it says Kohanim. It does say Kohanim. But a Kohen is not allowed to touch the body of a dead person. So do we say that because this is the Beit HaMikdash, a Kohen has to violate his vow of kahuna, so to speak, his bond with Hashem, his responsibility not to become defiled unless it's a met mitzvah? Would we call this a met mitzvah? After all, there isn't really psukim in the Torah or a mitzvah that governs who does the repairs. So these are the questions that we're going to try to answer now. Let's return to the beginning. Bishah shenichnasim habanoim, when the builders enter. When the Rambam says the builders enter, he doesn't necessarily say where they're entering to right away. He says, Bishah shenichnasim livnot uletaken, and then he adds a word, beheichal. Why did I say he adds a word? Because when we go to the source of the Rambam took this from, it doesn't say the word beheichal. The Tosefta, the codicil to the Mishnah of Mesechet Taharot, this is the ninth section of the first chapter. It reads, and I quote, Hakol nichnosim livnot ulataken ulahotzi etatuma. Everybody can enter to build, to fix, or to remove ritual impurity. Hakol, everybody. The Rambam changes the word to from hakol to bisha'ah, to at the time. The Rambam doesn't tell us what the Tosefta tells us. However, very interestingly, when we take a look at the Gemara in Masechet Eruvin, the Gemara is found on page 105. It's the last page of the tractate. The Gemara tells us, Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis learned, Hakol nichnosim beheichal livnot ulatakin ulahotziyat tumo. So the Gemara says everybody can enter into the heichal to build, to fix, and remove the tumo. The Rambam follows neither verbiage or syntax. In the Tosefta, there's no mention of the heichal at all. In the Rambam, he only mentions the heichal later on. So this is really interesting. And in fact, there's a commentary from the Mishnah Melech. The Mishnah Melech says, "Da, I want you to know that this rule that the Rambam shares with us is dafke betuma shenimtzeit beheichal. It refers specifically to ritual impurity that finds itself inside the heichal. However, the tuma which is in the courtyard, so then hakohanim lo mitamin." In other words, the Rambam chose his words very carefully. When you look at the Gemara, it's only talking about the heichal that's inside or in the building, the actual sanctuary structure. So in the Gemara, it's a law, a din, only about the building. And so Kohanim are the ones to go in. If no Kohanim, Levites. If no Levites, Israelites. How about here in the courtyard? Or what we talked about, the altar arena between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. How about here in Ezrat Kohanim? Who should go and remove the tumah first? The Gemara doesn't talk about that at all. The Tosefta doesn't tell us where we're going. It says, nichnasim, enter. Nichnasim doesn't mean to enter a building any more than it means to enter sacred scrimmage. So the Rambam and his holy genius kind of fuses both of these ideas of halachot. And the Rambam is telling us, it depends. Anyway, this is the Mishnah Lamelech's read into the Rambam. He reads into the Rambam the following. When they enter into the heichal, or to take ritual impurity out, then the mitzvah is that the kohanim should go first. So the Mishnah Melech says, if we're not talking about going into the heichal, if we're talking about being outdoors here, it shouldn't be a kohen. Because it's better for a Levite to become defiled than a Kohen to become defiled. Kohanim should never be defiled. A Kohen is always supposed to be in a state of ritual purity. He should be eligible to serve in the Beit HaMikdash at any time. Where does he get this from? And here's where it gets really, really interesting. So if we're talking about human remains, you should know, says the Mishnah Lamelech, the Kohen wouldn't go inside. Human remains, a Yisrael would go inside, or a Levite. A Kohen would not become ritually defiled. If we're talking about any form of ritual impurity, for example, as the Gemara tells us in Masechet Erevin, a dead rodent, there are 8 rodents who communicate a powerful energy of ritual impurity when they're dead. The carcasses of these 8 rodents are something that a Kohen is technically allowed to touch, but ideally shouldn't. So if the rodent is found here in the courtyard, who should do that? The Levite, not the Kohen. And we know this very interestingly because there is another form of possible ritual impurity. Fascinatingly, this form of ritual impurity is documented in the scripture itself. You open the book of Ketuvim and you come to Divrei Hayomim Beis, the second book of Chronicles. The 29th chapter are about the chronicles of Hezekiah, Chizkiyahu or Yechizkiyahu HaMelech. Now, the reign of Chizkiyahu is quite fascinating. He was a very righteous person. And he used all of his ability, every ounce of his wherewithal, to renew Am Yisrael's covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Almighty God. And one of the things he did was purify the Beit HaMikdash, because you see, Chizkiyahu's father was an absolute monster, horrible guy. He brought idols into the Beit HaMikdash. An idol is a source of ritual impurity. So in the early stages of his monarchy, Chizkiyahu set about to spiritually rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash by removing all of this offensive, idolatrous matter. And he then inspires what we would call a revival, a renaissance. He brought about a flowering of faith, an incredible transformation of Am Yisrael at the time. So in this 29th chapter, verse 16, we read the following. Vayavau hakohanim lipnima. The Kohanim came to the interior of Beit Hashem. Why did they go? Letaher, to purify. The verse continues. Vayotziu et kol hatuma asher matzu beheichal Hashem. They removed all ritual impurity. And this refers, of course, to the idols. And it's like from the house of Hashem. They brought it out lechatzar Beit Hashem, to the courtyard of the house of Hashem. So if you want to follow along on the floor plan, there were idols inside the altar, inside the heichal, pardon me. So the Kohanim came into the holy, the sanctuary, the heichal, and they took out the idols and they brought them through this door, down these stairs. Now we're in the courtyard. And out in the courtyard, they proceeded, Vayikablu halavim, to pass the idols onto the Levites. Now the Mefarshim tell us that they actually smashed the idols, because only an intact idol is fully offensive. So they immediately did their best to destroy the idol. However, Vayikablu halavim, then the Levites picked it up from there. Lahotzi lenachal Kidron chutza, to bring it into the Kidron Valley, which is outside. And we still know where the Kidron Valley is, and we still, fascinatingly, see nothing built in the Kidron Valley. That's where the remnants of these idols were dumped. For all you know, if you visit the Kidron Valley and you see broken shards or pieces of stone, who knows? That might have been the smashed remnants of the idols removed by the Kohanim into the courtyard, and the Levim took it from there and brought it outside. So we see very interestingly that the Kohanim have to enter the Heichal. However, if the ritual impurity is not in the Heichal, it is clear from the scripture that the Levites would be the preferred ones to take it out. Because after all, the Levites are also a temple-bound tribe. They have a special connection to this. So now let's go back to the halacha. Let me read to you a little bit more from the Mishnah Lamelech. Mishnah Lamelech says that it's clear in the book of Divrei Hayamim that the Kohanim took it out from the interior and the Levites picked it up at that case. And as such, he says, the reason for this would be if there would be ritual impurity in the courtyard, not inside the Heichal, not inside the actual sanctuary structure. He says, the lo mitamin ha-Kohanim b'makom she'efshe b'levim. It would be inappropriate to defile Kohanim if we had Levites to use for the purpose. Aval b'makom she'efshe shahamotzi min ha'echel yi ha'motzi min ha'zara, ha'motzi oz motzi ha'kohen, but if you have to take it from the heichal out to the azara, from the structure into the open-air courtyard, that would be a Kohen bringing it out to the open-air courtyard and a Levite or Israelite picking it up from there. So that gives us some significant clarity over here. We know that when it comes to the inside of the Heichal, if the offensive matter is a rodent that died or idolatry, the Kohen would be the preferred choice. We'd qualify him first as the best craftsperson to go in. However, if we talk about the Azara, the outer courtyard, the Levite would be tapped, not the Kohen, because we don't want to cause ritual purity for a Kohen. Furthermore, if the source of ritual impurity is a human corpse, well, that's another story. Instead, we'd have a Levite enter the Heichal, not a Kohen, because that would be a direct violation of the Torah itself. And just because we want to qualify the craftspeople, or prefer to use a Kohen, as it says, mitzvah b'Kohen, it's most appropriate Don't read that as it is an absolute obligation, mitzvah mandate, but rather it's a euphemism. Mitzvah, the preferred way, the more appropriate thing, is to use a kohen. No kohen, blemished kohen. No perfect priest, a blemished one. Neither a Levite or a commoner, a regular Israelite, but when it would come to human remains, the kohen would not go into the Heichal. That would be a Levi or possibly an Israelite if necessary. And the Rambam finishes off by telling us that when we speak about the people who are eligible, most eligible or less eligible or least eligible, we must know the following. That mitzvah b'tahorim is a general statement. It is most appropriate for the people who are going to enter to be tahor, to be in a state of ritual purity. Lo motzu tahorim, if you didn't find people who are ritually pure, then in that case, you kansu tmeim. The most important thing is to keep the Beit HaMikdash in its proper upkeep. And here, we enter into a very interesting question. If you have a perfect priest, a Kohen, unblemished, but he's tamei, and then you have an Israelite, really good craftsperson, but he's pure. Who goes first? The Kohen who's impure or the Israelite who's pure? So the Har HaMiria says that the Rambam clearly favors the language that's used by the Tosefta. And the Tosefta, after finishing off Kohanim Nechnasim, if there's no Kohanim Leviim, if there's no Leviim Yisraelim, the Tosefta then makes a statement, mitzvah b'tahorin. That applies to all of the aforementioned. Most appropriate is one who is tahor, one who is ritually pure. And so the Har HaMiria maintains that whether it's a Kohen or an Israelite, being pure comes before your status insofar as Kohen, Levi, or Israel is concerned. So in summation, we've learned that it is possible for us to have to enter this sacred space, and even though the restrictions are going to be loosened because we have a situation on our hands, it doesn't mean they're entirely rescinded. So the access still has to be carefully monitored. As this is a sacred space, we would ideally first favor a Kohen, then Levi, then Israelite. If we have Kohanim who are impure, we'd prefer a Levi who is pure. If the Leviim are impure, we'd opt for a Yisrael who is pure, rather than go with the Kohen who isn't. Lastly, we have to remember that when we speak about this halacha, in the Rambam's presentation of it, we're talking about two possibilities, in the building or in the courtyard. If it's going into the building, we have one set of halachot. That's where the Kohen comes first. If it's in the courtyard, which is open air, we have a separate set of halachot. And the third detail, which doesn't exactly say in the Rambam, but we've kind of pieced it together, is that if we're speaking about ritual impurity, it could be a rodent, or it could be what we would call a source of impurity because it's idolatry. But if it's human remains, once again, the Kohen would be passed over and we'd favor the Levite, or if no Levites, an Israelite, because the Kohen is clearly forbidden to come in contact with human remains, if at all possible. And that, my dear friends, is our little presentation on part two of the 23rd Halacha. Join me again tomorrow for our next episode, Choice of Evils. And let me remind you that by studying about the Beit HaMikdash, even when we don't have its physical presence, our sages ordain we're actually participating in its rebuilding. May our study hasten the arrival of the third Beis HaMikdash, b'mheira, ubi amenu, speedily, and in our days, amen. Thanks so much for joining.